from the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and also Proverbs 23 and verse 7, just the A part of the seventh verse. So let's open our Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 4. And verse 8. Shall we rise for the reading of the word of God? Want to go? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Praise the Lord. Then let's go to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Want to go? For he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do with your word in our lives today. Holy Spirit, I surrender myself under your divine guidance and direction. Do that which only you can do, that everyone under the sound of my voice will be enriched, empowered, enlightened, and edified today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I title today's message, Positioning Your Attitude for a New Altitude. Positioning your attitude for a new altitude. Positioning your attitude for a new altitude. Your attitude is more important than your talents. Your attitude is more important than your giftings. Your attitude is more important than your education and your degrees. It is more important than all the summarization of all the experiences that you have in life. You may have a long years of experience in your area of profession, in your area of specialization, but your attitude is still more important than all of those things. And I'll tell you why. Because you can have all those things, but if your attitude is wrong, it will hinder you from reaching the pinnacle of your potentials. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Attitude is so important. It is so important to us achieving our dreams and our goals in life. It is so important to you taking delivery of the promises of God for your life. It is so important in every area of your life. Your attitude is important. And that's why we must ensure that no matter the situation that we are faced with in life, it is not what happened to us that is really important. It is how we respond to what happened to us that is important. How you respond to whatever life brings your way would determine the outcome of your life. Let me say that again. How you respond to any situation or circumstance that life brings your way will determine the outcome of your life. Praise the Lord. Many people never really reach the optimum in life. Many people never really seize opportunities that God presents to them to be a better version of themselves or to take delivery of the blessing of God because of a wrong attitude that they have. Praise the Lord. What then is really an attitude? Attitude is a settled way of thinking. It is a way and a manner of thinking. Therefore, attitude has something to do with the way that you process information. Can I hear an amen? It has to do with the way you process any information that comes to you, any information that you receive. So there's a link between your thoughts and your attitude. Praise the Lord. Attitude is a predisposition or a tendency to respond either positively or negatively towards an idea, a person, an object, or a situation. Amen. It's a predisposition. Now, I didn't say it is a disposition, but a pre-one. A predisposition means that something that is already settled. Hallelujah. It means that it is a thought in us that we have already settled, we have already engineered and conditioned our minds about. It means that there is a prior programming in us that actually is the one that is processing the information. Praise the Lord. Is the prior programming. That is why that environment of a person can define the kind of attitude that they will have. Hello. When people comes from an environment where nobody dreams of any good thing, nobody has achieved anything, such a person already has a preconditioned mind of how their future is going to be like based on their environment. Amen. So it is a predisposition based on your prior conditioning. Many people have been conditioned by the experiences that they have had in life. Your past experiences conditions your mind towards certain things, towards certain situations in life. Hello? So when an information comes to you, you process it by your pre-conditioning. And that determines your attitude towards that thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I remember somebody said something. He said, you know, if you look at someone, particularly, let's say the grandfather used to drive a bus. Especially abroad where there is dignity in labor. Praise the Lord. Regardless of what you do. Now, the man, the grandfather, his son probably will still drive a bus. The grandson most probably will still become a bus driver. Hello? Now, whether he has a gifting or an ability to be something else is irrelevant in his case. Why? Because he is already preconditioned by his environment that they are drivers. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I have a friend we grew up together. The father was a surgeon. The mother, a very well accomplished female lawyer in Nigeria. In such a family setting, not being either a lawyer or a doctor will probably be hallelujah, sacrilegious. Praise the Lord. That's not a kind of home you come from and you say, really, I think
I like to draw things. Hello? So what happened to her? She conditioned her mind because of her environment and went to a medical school, graduated as a medical doctor. After graduating as a medical doctor, she still was not satisfied. She went to enroll to study law. She studied law. Medicine was first of all like 5 or 6 years. After that, she went into law for another 4 years. How many years is that? 10 years. After which she graduated as a lawyer, went to the law school, graduated to collect her bar. After that, she married a medical doctor. The medical doctor decided to relocate to America. When she got to America, she discovered herself. Hallelujah. All the years, the 10, 11 years, trying to become the father, trying to become the mother, were all wasted. Until she got to America, she never really discovered herself. Praise the Lord. Today, she's a poet. Her poetry opened the door of White House to her. She got a plaque from the President of the United States of America, which she would never have gotten, either as a doctor or as a lawyer. Your gift will make you for you and bring you before great men. Your gift, not somebody else's gift. There are many parents who want to live what they would have lived through their children. Hallelujah. I was invited to a program organized by one of our sisters here. And I was told to speak to children about their gifts. And when I got there, I told them, I said, oh, how many parents are here? They put up their hands. And I said, even though I'm supposed to speak to the children, but I would rather speak to the parents. Because no matter what I say to the children are still under the leadership of their parents. They are still under the direction of their parents, who themselves are preconditioned and pre-programmed. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? And I said to the parents, I said, give me and lend me your ears. I shared the testimony of that, my friend, with everybody there, all the parents there. And I said to them, I said, you parents, you would have loved to be an engineer. Because of that, you will force your child, your son, to become an engineer. Now, you didn't pass maths. Hello, somebody. You didn't make it. You had your own opportunity. You didn't pass it. You got an F9 and you are now struggling. Tell the boy, you must do this. You must get this. You must get that. Leave them alone. Praise the Lord. A man was forcing the daughter. Because you've worked in a hospital, you see all the doctors, how they respect them there. My daughter must become a doctor. Of course, she didn't make it. She tried all she could. They didn't admit her for medicine. The man was so, no, you didn't do well. That's why you are playful. The girl is the one feeding the father today. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. People's attitude are based on precondition. How they have preconditioned their minds. Hello? Your predisposition towards something. Because a lot of parents will say, if you do this, you are not going to make it. Hello? It's so funny now that some parents are saying, I hope my son can play football. Glory be to Jesus. Because you see, gradually we will all come to accept that there is dignity in labor. And the Bible makes us to understand that in every labor, there is profit. The important thing is to know that you discover your own gift. Praise the Lord. That's why a lot of people will spend years doing something that they don't like. Going to an office, 15, 20 years, you are there, 9 to 5, doing something you don't really enjoy. Is somebody listening? There is nothing like being free to be yourself. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. As kingdom citizens, having a right attitude towards God's principles, promises, is crucial. If you are going to receive the best that God has for you in life. We don't even have any other choice. That is the way that God has designed us. To have a right attitude towards our walk with God. Praise the Lord. Like some people may feel, oh, what's the point of going to church today? I mean, rain. Our brother was telling me on the phone this morning, he said, it's the rain that delayed me. I said, I bind that devil in the name of Jesus. Rain delayed you. Rain delayed you. Rain. Did you read the Bible? Have you read Genesis? The very first chapter. My goodness. The Bible says, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And what? Let them have dominion. You don't know what dominion means. It's to govern. It's to have mastery of situations. Praise the Lord. It's to rule. It's to be in charge. It's to be in control. And then you go, something delayed me. Are you of that kingdom? Or you are from another kingdom? Praise the Lord. Attitude. Because when your mind is preconditioned that something can stop you from achieving, that thing will stop you. Nobody will rise above what they are thinking. Why? Because your attitude is a summary of your thoughts. It's what you are thinking. I don't have to live with you in your house. Once I see your attitude, I know what you are thinking about that situation. Praise the Lord. Making the church on time to some of us is not important. It's not necessary. Service starts at 9. They come. I'll get there when I get there. It's an attitude. Hallelujah. And where? What is the origin of that kind of an attitude? The origin is it is not important. Hallelujah. It's because you think that it has absolutely nothing it's contributing to you becoming the best version of yourself. And that's the lie of the devil. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of God is a spirit of discipline. A lot of us in the church, we lack self-discipline. And really, for you to really be someone that will be significant, that will make high impact, you must be a disciplined person. Praise the Lord. You must be a disciplined person. I said to people, I said, look, when I was in a 9-to-5 job, when I sat at committees, glory be to Jesus. You know, I'm always looking for something different from what everybody is looking for in a candidate. I'm always looking for something different. I will hire somebody that is less qualified for the attitude. Oh. You may not have the qualification for the job, but if you have the right attitude, you are hired. Attitude is everything. Praise the Lord. So when I ask questions, it's important. There was a time I wanted to employ a lady. As she came, I'm sure it was one of those, my bosses, that said, okay, go to her and blah, blah, blah. Maybe she's related to him. And she came to me and I asked her the normal questions, blah, blah, blah. Why do you want this job? You know, and she said, blah, blah, blah. This is it. This is her qualification. This is everything. I said, well, how much do you think that you are worth? I asked a very, very hard question. I thought it was going to be easy. I thought it would have been easier than any other question I asked. It was the most difficult. She couldn't, she said, well, whatever you think that I'm worth. Hello? That statement told me a lot of things about her, and I knew there is no way I can work with her. Praise the Lord. I knew that she had a wrong mentality. Whatever you think that it means you don't know what you are worth. Anybody who does not know what they are worth, you will be tossed to and fro by every wind that is blowing. It means you are not standing for something. If you are not standing for something, you will fall for anything. Praise the Lord. You must know what you want. But you see, it's an attitude that she has developed. And you see, some of you might look at it and say, oh, it's humility. No, it's not humility, it's stupidity. It is idiotic. You must know. Praise the Lord. A lady friend of mine who sews clothes. I'm sure Pastor Yohande knows the girl. Maybe she went to your secondary school. The day she told me that she was sewing, I said, let me take my one cloth that I took there. I said, oh, how long am I going to? Because in that area, I have no patience. If I give you cloth today, I want to collect it tomorrow. So, she said, it takes 4 weeks. Eh? 4 weeks. So I said, well, if it will take 4 weeks, it'll probably be cheaper. So I asked her how much. She said 25,000. I said, Jesus Christ, blood of God. Hello? And she sat me down. She said, why is my mouth, my jaw dropping? She said, I know the quality of what I'm going to give to you. If I sew that cloth to you, there will be no adjustments. She said, there will be no adjustments. I said, okay, I took my cloth. So I sent my senior sister there. Now she went there and she paid. And she wore the cloth. The first time she was sewing for her. I said, are you sure she's the one that sewed it? I said, it's a lie. You bought it somewhere. He said, buy. He said, she's the one that made this dress. I said, are you serious? She didn't call me back. Hello? She knew her worth. Praise the Lord. You see, quality things, there are certain things that you buy. It's not, they are not looking for people. Praise the Lord. They are not, when you, greatness is not for sale. You don't see it on sale. Amen. If you are looking for quality, you know what you will get. And she was willing to stand for it. But to some people, you'll be looking for 10,000 customers. Hello, somebody. And at the end of the day, all of them will still be abusing you. Praise the Lord. It's still about your attitude towards yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Your outlook will determine your outcome. Your outlook would determine your outcome. You know, when you are living a life that is clear, careless, and you give in to slothfulness, and you do things, you see, many of us really don't think that such things matter. We don't. Something happened, I think last week. I went somewhere, and I saw the attitude of the people that were there. I knew that day, I can never return to the place. Praise the Lord. I knew I would not. Because I'm looking more for attitude in a person than any other thing. What's your attitude to life? What's your attitude to the issues that you are facing in your life? Because it's going to determine the outcome. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your attitude follows what you are thinking. How you process what you are facing in life. How you process any situation that is challenging you in any area, spiritually, financially, materially, maritally, relationally, is your attitude. Praise the Lord. Wrong attitude manifests like this. Number one, no day will ever be good enough. No day will ever be good enough. Have you not noticed? You just see some people. There's a friend of mine. When I call her and I speak to her, she just has nothing good to say about the day. And I said, look, it's not going to get better. Your outlook will always determine the outcome. If you are not thinking today is a good day, you will not experience a good day. Nobody rises above what they are thinking. Praise the Lord. You attract to yourself what you are thinking. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Now, that's a powerful statement. You may not know it. You attract to yourself what you are thinking, including a life partner. Glory be to Jesus. If you think it's not possible, it can never be possible. Because when you have a wrong thought, it affects your attitude and you can miss Mr. Light by your attitude. Beloved, there are men who are not looking at your physical beauty. They are looking at your character. That's what they are looking for. You may look very pretty. Some may see you as something to play with, but when they are looking for a wife, they are looking for right attitude. Praise the Lord. Are you getting something out of this? No day will ever be good enough for someone with a wrong attitude. Number two, no relationship will be rewarding enough. None. My husband is a bad husband. My wife is a bad wife. She is not good. She will not do this for me. She is stubborn. She never listens. She does this. She does what I don't like. She doesn't do what I like. She doesn't obey me. She doesn't respect me. She doesn't do this. Doesn't. Wrong attitude. Guess what? It's not going to get any better. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You attract to yourself what you are thinking. What's your attitude towards your relationship? I remember I was counseling a couple at one time. I think we were still in 212. Pastor and I. And pastor now told the husband, gave him a sheet of paper and a biro. He said, write 5 things that are good about your wife. That's the test. Write 5 things that are good. Because there's nobody that is totally bad. And nobody is totally good. Praise the Lord. He looked at it. He didn't want to write it. But he knew that that's the truth. And he said, but all these things I wrote, it was at the beginning. I said, let's go back to the beginning. In your attitude, go back to the beginning. And you will see the beginning become today and become tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Number 3, no job will ever be fulfilling. In this office, self. I'm tired of this job, self. We like that word, self. The L is missing. It's always self. This job, self. I'm tired of this job, self. I'm tired of this office, self. Well, it's only a question of time before the office gets tired of you too. Is somebody hearing God? Wrong attitude. Number 4. No church will ever be good enough to satisfy your needs. You see, when I enter that place, you see them. See these people. Are these ones doing church? What are they doing there? See how that lady is singing. Her voice is not even good. Hello? What song are they singing? People don't sing this kind of praise worship song anymore now. These ones are old school. He is the only ghost in this place, self. Hello? Look at them. There are not many people. Like some people used to say, remember one lady that said, he said, I looked at the church, I said, there's nobody here that can marry me. Because attitude, the preconditioning is, I go to church looking for somebody to marry me. So even when that person is there, you can't see it. Praise the Lord. You cannot see it. there are not many in that church. I'm not sure the anointing will be there. When they are clapping, it's not, the thing is not roaring. Hello? Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Beloved, if you are not someone, look, there's so many things that can derail us as Christians. We are not careful. So many things. If you are somebody that is given to your feelings, how you feel, given to your emotions is determining how you respond to anything that is happening to you. May God help us. Number 5, no material possession will ever be satisfying. Hallelujah. It won't be satisfying. People who have wrong attitude to life. I'm living in one room apartment. You hate everything about it. You spoil the window. It's cuckoo, not my house. Now, landlord, please, and you want to build your own. Hello? You live anyhow there. Never satisfied with what you have. Instead of you to stop and to thank God for what you have, thanksgiving is a springboard to higher heights. Because thanksgiving comes from a right attitude. Praise the Lord. Not from a wrong attitude. You must like where you are on the way to where you are going. You must appreciate God for where you are on the way to where you are going. You may not have shoes of all colors. Maybe what you have is just a basic one, black and brown. Thank God you have black. At least it will go with everything. Praise the Lord. And you thank God for your black shoe. Until your multicolored shoe comes and shows up. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of attitude. Amen. Pastor Yemi and I, we met one pastor many years back who was telling us about his story, his beginning. He said, there were times when I'm going to church, he said, I'll be standing in the sun. No car, nothing. Waiting for the bus to come. Scorching sun. He said, my shoes has holes under it. He said, people will see me at the bus stop. I'm doing like this. They will think I'm just doing exercise. No. He said, it is the heat on the ground that is beating me because of the holes in my shoe. Hello? He said, but there I will be praising God. Hallelujah. Moshima ba won rerin ayo. Ah. Ben mi ba nbe ireti chiwa okan mi bale. Pe moshima ba won rerin ayo. He said he will be standing. But by the time Pastor Yemi and I met the man, it was a different story. Praise the Lord. Why? Because he had the right attitude where he was. Beloved, don't deceive yourself. If you don't have a right attitude, I don't care what your dream is. I don't care how beautiful that dream is. It's not coming to pass. So let me tell you the truth right now. Don't deceive yourself. Because nothing happens by chance. It's not by happenstance. You prepare for where you are going. And the first preparation is your attitude. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. A man had an attitude, always talking about the dream that he has, not talking about the problem he was facing. He said he had a dream of his house, the house he's going to live in. He used to say it everywhere, in the office. He would be telling everybody. Even he would tell his boss. He would tell his boss, Oga, that my house, that I'm going to build. Well, you will see it, oh. Okay, your own has 4 bedrooms. My own is going to be 6. Everybody will just say, don't go and sit down. They will run him down. They will just say, you just talk. You talk too much. But the guy knew what he was saying. Hallelujah. On the inside of him, he's thinking about it. Glory be to Jesus. It is affecting his attitude. The Bible says in Mark 11:23 that ye shall have what you say. He kept saying it. He kept saying it to anybody, whether you want to listen or you don't want to listen. Any conversation you have with him must end up with this house, whether it has anything to do with house or not. He must mention the... One day, the owner of the company saw him. Hallelujah. This man is not anybody that is Ogao. He saw him and sent for him. He said, I've heard you talk about a house before in this place. He said, I like your attitude. That was what he said. He said, I like your attitude. He said, how much would you need for this? This happened in America. The man sent him $100,000. He's never had any direct contact with the man. He's the owner of the company. A very rich, very wealthy man. He sent him $100,000. And what? Why did he send? Did he send it because the man is the most qualified in his job, or is the one that they say he brings the deposit that is highest into the company, or the number of customers to come and buy what they are selling? No. What gave him $100,000? What did he exchange for $100,000? His attitude. Praise the Lord. That's why I said your attitude is more important than your potential. It's more important than your education. It's more important. Does anybody have a dream here? When I heard the story of this man, I said, I must tell my dream to everybody. I'll tell it to cow. I'll tell it to chicken. Praise the Lord. Because I don't know who God is going to use. So I'm willing to tell my story anywhere. Praise the Lord. So to some of you, I'll be saying it. Peradventure, you are the one God is going to use. And you better be saying your own. Peradventure, I'm the one God is going to use. Are you getting something from this? Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. The sixth one. Wrong attitude affects what you say. It affects what you say. 1 Peter 3:10. I've been talking about that, and that's why I said this month is a month of our spiritual emphasis on fasting from negative thinking and evil speaking. And I'm sure many of you have forgotten about it. This month, you have abused a lot of people. This month, you have used your mouth to say negative things. This month, you have said evil things. Hello? I don't know how many of us here are still fasting. Praise the Lord. Fast from speaking negative things. It starts from thinking negative. Because you will have what you say. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not only food you fast. If you fast wrong thinking and begin to replace it with right thinking, then you begin to get right results. It's so funny, you know, sometimes it's a paradox because to me, sometimes it looks like a medical doctor who is a chain smoker. Isn't that a paradox? A doctor will be telling you, don't smoke. Hello? The person that manufactures cigarettes will say, it is harmful to your health. And you are still smoking. Hello? Because you do not know that cigarette can stop you from reaching the pinnacle of your potentials. It can cut short your life. It can prevent you from fulfilling your purpose in life. Praise the Lord. Some of you, when they say there is food like this, something is, somebody is doing something. Free food. Especially when it's serve yourself. I see people, they will pack salad with asaro in the same plate. They will put fried rice on one corner, put jollof rice on one corner. They just pack the heap of things, eat all manner of things. Hello? Why? Because you are not even paying for it. It is free. But you do not know that those things have their own outcome. Hello? Like one man of God said, he said, in life, when people are running, you are running to make money. Hallelujah. You are running to make money. You want to eat the kind of food that everybody is eating. Like one hospital maid, when my sister was still working in Luth, when they gave them the, what do you call it, arrears of increase, when federal government paid it, bulk money, and went to my sister's office. Doctor, Hey, oh, what a day. He said, I used to go to the market. There's one woman selling fresh fish in front. Once you want to enter that market like this, this fish will be swimming in water. He said, now I can afford it. Hello? The money she got, all she's thinking about is her belly. The Bible said, plus food, plus your belly, God will destroy both of them. That's her dream. That she will eat that fresh fish. She's been eating ice fish. Fish that have been caught maybe 3 years ago. Frozen. Ah, many of you don't know the time that that fish died. The one you buy in the market, in that carton. You think it's just a day's cut. Praise the Lord. That was her dream. This is what I want in my life. So many a times, when you really have what it takes and it comes into your hand, what's your attitude? You now start eating whatever you like because you can afford it. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. A friend of mine, we grew up together. This boy, when he got married to a classmate of mine. And the day I went to visit them, not long after they got married, he said, mi omo, kilo shele o. Anytime I come back from work, there will be no meat in the soup. I said, what do you mean? There are only two of you living in this house. He said, my husband will, the pot is there. So when he came back, and I said, this soup now should last you people for this. It's my money. It's my money. He ate everything. Praise the Lord. He ate ten pieces of meat. Because now you can. You know, when you are still eating your mother's this thing, you can't. But now, you are your own man. It's your money. So you eat it. And then later on in life, the money you are making, we are now using the money to go and manage our health. The thing you wanted to save the money to eat, the doctor will say, now don't eat it. You can't eat this. Don't eat fat. Don't eat oil. Don't eat this one. Don't eat this one to preserve your life. It's a paradox. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Let me move on here. Manifestation. These are the manifestation of wrong attitude. Hopelessness. And of course, where there is no hope, you have no faith. And where there is no faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And if you are not pleasing God, how are you going to take delivery of the promises of God in your life? Wrong attitude has to do with how you process information. Never you forget that. How do you process every information that comes to you? Do you employ the word of God to process information? Or it is how you feel that processes information for you? Or is it what everybody does that processes information for you? Or is it your past experience that processes information for you? Beloved, we must let the word of God be our benchmark. And that's exactly what the Bible says in our text today. In Philippians 4 and 8. Let's look at right attitude. There's something that will come. Psalm 119 and verse 165. Now we're talking about right attitude. Psalm 119, verse 165. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This is a powerful scripture. He said, great peace have they which love the law, those who love the principles of God. Those who will choose to have a right attitude, regardless of what they are faced with in life, regardless of that challenge in their lives. He said, great will be their peace. Nothing will offend them. Are there still things that are offending you? You know, anytime I read this scripture, I get convicted. Praise the Lord. Because I said, Lord, I've not reached this place. And I want to get there. Say, nothing at all will offend them. Some of us, any little thing like this, we're offended. We just have absolutely no, in fact, we are allergic to something that does not even work our way or what we expect. We easily get offended. But he said, but those who love the law refers to the principles of God. The law of God. He said, those who love it, great shall be their peace. And nothing offends them. They are not offended. Hallelujah. Even when they are rebuked, they take it with a glad heart. They take it, receive it with meekness of heart. Praise the Lord. You didn't see, you see how that pastor just talked to me. I'm not going to that church again. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing, absolutely nothing. Let somebody say nothing. Nothing shall offend them. Nothing. Because they are peace. What makes them to really be at peace? Because they are not trusting themselves. They are trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. They are trusting in the Lord. They know that God has their back. They know that God is watching over them. They know that all things are working together for their good. They know that God will never leave them nor forsake them. They know the promises of God. They know what God has promised them. So wherever they are, if it doesn't look like where God has promised them, they know they are not there yet. So there's no need to be offended. He's still on his way. Glory be to Jesus. They know the law. They know the word. Those who know and love the word of God, who will not allow their decisions to be based on how they feel, who will not respond to anything that somebody said or did or act, he said, great shall be their peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. To corroborate what I've just said. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God. When your mind is stayed on God, you will have a right attitude. Because you know that God can never fail. You know that God, when he promises, his promises, they are yea and amen. It is not how long you are waiting for it, but you are assured that it will surely come to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So thou will keep him in perfect peace. If you are not enjoying perfect peace, you need to ask yourself, is my mind stayed on God? If your peace is troubled and disturbed, check, is my mind stayed on God? Because the Bible tells us, when your mind is stayed on God, this is how you know you will have great peace. You will be at peace in the time of war. You'll be at peace in the time of trouble. Nothing will offend you. Hallelujah. Some of us are even offended by God. God, you didn't do this for me. So you take offense against God. You are still coming back to him. Hallelujah. And you will repent of your offense. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So right attitude can keep you in a job that you are unqualified for. Number two, when it comes to right attitude, no one provides us with a better example than Jesus Christ himself. Philippians 2 and verse 5. What did he say? The translation I have here says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, if you read that Philippians 2, it talks about the attitude of Jesus. He had an attitude of servanthood. He had an attitude of surrender. Praise the Lord. That's his attitude. The Bible says he laid down himself. That was his attitude to life. What's your own attitude to every situation that you are faced with? We are supposed to operate in a kingdom mentality. Jesus operated in a kingdom mentality. He knew who he was. He knew whose he was. He was fully persuaded that God will never leave him. God will never forsake him. Hallelujah. He knew what he was about. He knew that God is not a liar. The Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Men lie, but only God. God doesn't lie. Let me tell your neighbor, God will not lie to you. So, right attitude. If your attitude is right, number one, no mountain will ever be too high. Number two, no challenge will ever be too great. Number three, no situation will ever be hopeless to you. Number four, no dream will ever be impossible. Number five, no goal will ever be too unattainable. Number six, no enemy will ever be undefeatable. If you have a right attitude. So people who have right attitude, they are not faced with a situation and feel that I cannot overcome. No. They look at the situation and said, me, I will outlast and outlive you. Praise the Lord. That's the right attitude. An attitude of faith. An attitude of confidence in God. Beloved, what is keeping us away really from seeing our goal achieved is our attitude. Many a times we have wrong attitude. And God has sent me here today to tell you there is need for a readjustment in your attitude. There is need for a repositioning of your attitude if you really want a new level. If you want to see a new level of fruitfulness and productivity in your life, there must be a readjustment in your attitude to life, in your attitude to your situation. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Some of us, the reason why you don't talk about your dreams is because you really don't believe that it's going to come to pass. You don't really believe. If you believe it's going to come to pass, you will be free to talk about it. Hallelujah. You'll be free to talk about it. You'll be free to say, look, I'm moving into my house this year. Hallelujah. You'll be free. Because you believe. How can you say you believe what you don't talk about? You just keep it inside. No. It's a lie, or that's a deception. You are still not sure. And you'll be thinking, oh, what if I say it and the people will laugh at me if it doesn't come to pass? Well, guess what? What if it comes to pass? And this Bible is telling us, it shall come to pass. You just need to have a right attitude. Praise the Lord. Rise on your feet. Let's rise on our feet.